Good morning, everyone, and you're all very welcome. This morning, the service is a special service. It's we're between series. We did 3 weeks on prayer, and then we've got after this the next 3 weeks. Next week we'll be gone, so John Herrick from Cove will be speaking, and then we have a special speaker from California the 2 weeks after that, and then after that we will start into Jeremiah, doing 8 or 10 weeks in Jeremiah. But today is a more of a special service. It's a memorial service for the mother of our dear friend here in the church, Liam O'Keefe. His mother, Vera, she passed away earlier in the week at the age of 90, and her service was at St. James Catholic Church in Killorglin, and I was privileged to have been able to preach in the service there. But I had told Liam that we would have a special service here today, so that's you've already seen that with the songs and the readings, scripture readings earlier. And so on Thursday we gathered together to remember Vera O'Keefe, to show support for her son Liam, and to pay respects to Vera's family, her sisters Una and Margaret, and her brother Dermot. We also gathered together to comfort each other, because it's always a somber moment when we gather for a funeral, because death is so definite and final. Death leaves us wanting that extra phone call, that extra cup of tea at the kitchen table, or to hear their voice just one more time. Yet there is a hope that we will see Vera again. Many of us have lost loved ones in recent months and years, and those who knew Jesus, or the innocent young children such as Rowan was, we are confident that we will see them again. There is an assurance that we will see Vera and hear her voice again, as well as those that we know had believed in Jesus Christ. That hope, as the Bible tells us, is in Jesus Christ. So let me read John 3, 1 to 21. We'll be focusing on John 3:16, but we'll make reference to different parts of the passage. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Liam chose that portion of scripture, and it is, I believe, the greatest conversation in the Bible between Jesus and a religious leader. The Pharisee knew the traditions of the Old Testament, but he wanted to know more about Jesus and what Jesus was teaching. Jesus told him, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Vera was born on the 20th of March, 1934, 90 years ago. She was also born again on the 11th of January, 2021. Liam loved reading the Bible with his mom. He read it to her at home, and then when she was moved to the nursing home, he read to her every day. And then 3.5 years ago, Liam asked her if she knew Jesus. If she died tonight, would she be with Jesus? She said she wanted to pray and ask Jesus into her heart to be born again. That was the day that she knew that she would see Jesus one day. How could she know this? How can anyone know for sure that they will go to heaven? Well, because of what Jesus told that religious leader. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So let's look at that verse, John 3:16, a bit closer. There are four phrases, so let's just look at each of the phrases. God so loved the world. God, who created all things, the heavens and the earth, he loves the world, the people of this world. Every person who has ever lived, God has loved, including you and me today, including everyone who loves God and everyone who hates God. God loves his creation so much that he gave them a gift and a choice. And that love is hard to imagine. A sinful, rebellious world that confronts God and mocks him every day is loved by God. We sing the great hymn by Lehman called The Love of God. And the last verse was not written by Lehman. She found it written on the wall of an insane asylum next to the bed of a madman, of a man who had found the love of God before he passed away. And this is the first and the last verse. The first verse that she wrote, the second verse, the last verse that he had written on the wall. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The wandering child is reconciled by God's beloved Son. The aching soul again made whole and priceless pardon won. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and everyone a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That is an unimaginable love. And the second phrase is that he gave his only Son. Jesus is talking about himself. Jesus was and is God's gift for all humanity to either accept him or reject him. Each of us make the choice. Do you accept or reject? This is the greatest gift that man can ever receive. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. The old hymn, "What wondrous love is this, O my soul?" That wondrous love is the gift of Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus say he came? Verses 17 and 18 of chapter 3, he said he came not to condemn the world, but the world would be saved through him. Liam made the choice to accept Christ as his Savior several years ago. Vera made that choice 3 years ago. They accepted that gift of Jesus Christ. And the third phrase is that whoever believes in him, that's not just for the rich or the famous or the powerful or the influential or the people in the know. It's for everyone and anyone who believes in Jesus. It really is that simple. Believe in Jesus. Accept that free gift. You're never too old. You're never too set in your ways. You're never too bad. Whatever you think you are too much of, God's love is greater and his mercy is more. If a prostitute can accept Jesus as Savior and Lord and turn their life around, if a gangster and mafia hitman can save his life and have his life changed by Christ, if an 87-year-old invalid woman can pray to receive Christ as her Savior, so can you. Look at the Apostle Paul. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee and member of the Sanhedrin. He studied under the best religious leader, teacher of his time. He was also a persecutor of Christians. He hunted them down and he dragged them back to Jerusalem to be judged. And he was present at the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. He was a vile, self-righteous enemy of Jesus and the early church. And he was the man that Jesus wanted. He believed. He believed in Jesus and he was saved and he wrote half the New Testament. The result of believing in Jesus is this last phrase of the verse, should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the promise. That's the assurance and the hope that we will see Vera again and our loved ones who believed in Jesus. We'll see them again. I'll see my parents and my grandparents again. Lona will see her grandparents and her dad again. Vera, she believed in Jesus and she is now with him in heaven and for eternity. Paul's letter to the Roman church said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. She accepted that free gift of eternal life. When we accept the gift of God through Jesus Christ, we are guaranteed eternal life. The guarantee starts as soon as we believe. It is a promise that we possess right now. Liam was telling me that not only were they reading the Bible together, but they're trying to memorize Scripture. Now, my memory is terrible, as I've said before, and I've never been good at memorization. So I applaud Liam for doing so. Keep going. The last verse he was learning, and he did this with his mother, was 1 John 1:9. And that verse says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is such an amazing verse full of hope and assurance. The Apostle John wrote this letter, and he is talking about Jesus. Well, let me read verses 5 to 10 so we get the full context of 1 John 1, verses 5 to 10. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. See, the issues are we walking in the light as a follower of Christ, or are we walking in darkness, meaning we've rejected Christ? Or are we saying one thing and doing another? Do we say we have no sin? When we do that, we are only lying to ourselves, saying, what a good boy am I? We're also calling Jesus a liar. Why would he need to come to save a world from sin if no one sinned? But we know that no one is good, no, not one. The promise is, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, we have the choice. If we confess, then Jesus will forgive. We can trust His faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. There is no shadow of turning in thee, as the old hymn goes. We can trust in His faithfulness to forgive us our sins. If we confess our sins, ask to Jesus, asking for forgiveness, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If Jesus says He's going to do something, then He'll do it. He not only forgives us, but He wipes the slate clean. The sins are gone, as if they were never there. And even more importantly, we have eternal life. When you look at these three verses together, John 3:16, Romans 6:23, 1 John 1:9, that's an unbreakable package of hope and eternal life that only God can provide. Now you might be saying, well, that's all fine for other people, but I'm too old or too far gone. God wouldn't have me, or He can't forgive me. Well, in most Catholic churches, and it was there at the St. James, I got a beautiful set of the Stations of the Cross. There's 14 depictions. And all in the, and there they have 14 beautiful paintings of the Stations of the Cross. Now, a few of them are not biblically accurate, and some of the events are left out, including the conversation between Jesus and two criminals, which is in Luke 23. And in Luke 23, we're told that one of those criminals started to mock Jesus. It says, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal, he defended Jesus. He rebuked the first criminal, and he said, "Don't you fear God? We're getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." So as all three of these men, Jesus and these two criminals, are in pain and agony, dying on the crosses, the one who defended Jesus said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This man, in his last moments of life, believed that Jesus was the Son of God and the Messiah. He accepted the free gift of salvation and he asked for forgiveness. And how do you think Jesus responded? Well, based on 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Jesus forgave him. Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Not tomorrow, not next year, not 1,000 years from now. Today, you will be with me in heaven. I mean, this man had no hope that morning when he woke up. Now here he is, dying on a cross, looking over at Jesus, who was his only hope. When he died on the cross, the next moment he opened his eyes in paradise with Jesus. That criminal never had a chance to be baptized. He never had a chance to learn any prayers or read the Bible. He never had a chance to do any discipleship training. He never had a chance to do any good works for the Lord. He did the only thing he could do. He believed in Jesus. He accepted Jesus. He was born again on that cruel cross, and he was given the hope and assurance of being with Jesus for eternity. That's what Vera did on the 11 January 2021. That's what Liam did several years before that. That's what I did in October 1972 when I was a little 8-year-old kid. This is what each of you can do today. This very hour, this very moment. Why? So that you can have the same assurance as Liam has in seeing his mother again. And Vera, who is in the presence of God right now. She is with Jesus now, face to face. And we are grieving and we're sorrowful because she's not with us, but she's in complete joy in heaven with Jesus. She's in perfect health. There's no pain, no tears. And if she could tell you today, she'd say, "God loves you. God loves me, and God loves you. And He gave His Son Jesus as the perfect gift. Please believe in Him and have the same hope and assurance that I have, that I'm experiencing right now." Who are you placing your trust and hope in today? I mean, the world places their hope in anything and everything other than Jesus. Mainly, they trust in themselves. Man has always had a very high opinion of himself, and look where that gets him. I mean, watch the news and follow the wars in Ukraine, Gaza, Sudan, the Congo, Syria. Look at the politics in the world and you see how people align with left-wing or right-wing ideologies. Pro this person or pro that person. Or they are brainwashed by the lies of dictators. I mean, the only hope that we have is in Jesus. In Isaiah 45:22, God said, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other." God the Father loves this old rebellious world so much that he gave his only Son, Jesus, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting and eternal life. That's the promise. Jesus is the hope, the gift of salvation. And my hope and prayer for each of you is that you believe in Jesus. If you have not already believed in Jesus, I hope you do today. That you accept Jesus as Savior, that you ask for forgiveness of sins because he is faithful to forgive you your sins, so that you will have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God bless.